Expressions from St. Paul is a paid program. Our sponsors are listeners like you. We thank you for your faithful prayers and gifts.
Many of you sitting in here today are in a position in your life where you feel like you are hovering and you cannot quite figure out what the reason is that God is causing you to hover. And the reason why you are in the position that you are in today is simply because God is waiting to clear some things out before God is able to move some more things in. God is trying to set you up to a better position. We all, in some way, have to go through a process.
Our guest speaker this week is Reverend Jesse Shavers, and his lesson is on the process that we go through to prepare us for what God has for us. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. and at 10 a.m. our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 25. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Mark the 8th chapter. Mark chapter 8 and 25. We'll just jump right there. And it reads as following. It says, after that, you may be seated. That's enough. Today we want to talk about the process. After that, that's enough. In December, I had the opportunity to travel out of the country. Flew on a big 800 series plane that had two decks to it. And rode very comfortably all the way into London. And one thing that I noticed that most people have seen is that sometimes at the airport you will notice that there are planes that have to hover in the air. And the question was asked to the air traffic controller. It says, why do planes have to hover in the air? There were five responses that the air traffic controller gave. He said one reason is that there's probably a mechanical error. And so until the mechanical error can be fixed, the plane cannot land. Number two, they said it can be due to inclement weather changes that would prevent an airplane from landing. Number three, if the pilot has not taken care of everything that he's supposed to do, then he cannot land the plane. Number four, it was stated that if there is a power outage and communication cannot be made, that would cause the plane to hover. But then the fifth one was one that stood out to me very significantly. And the fifth one said that if the airport is at its maximum capacity, it will have the plane hover in order to keep the flow moving. Y'all read it like I read it the first time. That's how I read it. I had the same reaction. But I had to really look at what the air traffic controller was saying. The air traffic controller was saying that in order for the plane to be able to land, it has to move some things out the way. It has to get rid of what's already there in order for more to be able to come in. Many of you sitting in here today are in a position in your life where you feel like you are hovering and you cannot quite figure out what the reason is that God is causing you to hover. Well, I come to bring you the fifth point that was answered by the air traffic controller, and the reason why you are in the position that you are in today is simply because God is waiting to clear some things out before God is able to move some more things in. Y'all didn't feel me. When you get to this particular text in the Bible, you will realize that things didn't happen the way that we would normally know things to happen according to Mark's gospel. Everything, I don't care how long you've been saved, I don't care how much you pay your tithes or how often or if you do it regularly, I don't care if you attend church regularly, I don't care how many ministries that you work on. Everything doesn't happen for you the way that it's going to happen for other people. None of us in here are exempt from challenges, trials, and tribulations from happening in our lives. And the reason why God has allowed you to go through is because God is trying to make space in your life to be able to allow some more things to come in. I know sometimes it can seem very disturbing. Sometimes it can be disencouraging. Sometimes it can cause you anxiety. But you have to know to hang on because God has your best interest at mind. If you look throughout Mark's gospel, you will realize throughout his gospel that every time Jesus did something, he did it immediately. Somebody say immediately. When he called the three boys that were fishing, when he called them, they dropped their nets and it happened immediately. When God healed the deaf man, it happened immediately. When God healed blinded eyes, it happened when? Immediately. When God caused the lame to walk, it happened immediately. When God healed Peter's mother-in-law from her fever, it happened immediately. When he had crossed over the sea and he had came to a cemetery, there was a man there that was possessed with demons. And when God cured him, it happened immediately. There was a man that had a case of leprosy and God healed them immediately. As Jesus was pressing his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, the Bible says that there was a woman there that had an issue of blood for 12 long years. And she pressed her way through the crowd. And when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, the Bible says that her blood dried up and she was healed immediately. Then as Jesus continued on, he went to Jairus' daughter. And after he threw everybody out of the room, the Bible says that he called her back to life and it happened immediately. When God came and he raised Lazarus from the dead and he told him to come forth, the Bible says, I don't have much time, you got to catch on real quick. When he did it, he said it happened immediately that Lazarus got up walking like a natural man. It happened immediately. When he healed a boy who was possessed and had epilepsy, the Bible says that when he touched him, the boy was healed immediately. But for some reason, when you get here in the 8th chapter of Mark, in this particular gospel, there is a certain blind man who does not receive his healing immediately. You say, I've been praying and I've been fasting and I've been asking God, what do you do when the God that you have heard about is not the God that you experience? What do you do when you hear that God is a provider, that God is a healer, and that God is a way maker, and that God will open doors for you, and that God will pay bills when you have no money in the bank, and that God will be your peace when you have in turmoil, that he'll give you joy in the midst of sorrow? You've heard all of these great things, but your encounter with God has been something quite different. How do you handle your situation when God does not respond to you immediately? Come here, Brother Job. Job got into a position where he had got so far out. And when he got to a place where he needed to talk to God the most, the Bible says that when God showed up in the form of an angel that Jacob wrestled with, the Bible says that God showed up ready to fight. Come on, y'all know the story. God showed up ready to fight. After I've done everything that I'm supposed to do, I prayed like I was supposed to pray. Then God shows up and he wants to fight me. What do you do when everything doesn't happen the way that you've known it to happen? Not only that, the Bible says that God even got a little harsh with Jacob and he hit Jacob's hip out of socket. Not only are you in a position where you're trying to figure out what's going on, but then when God shows up, not only does he fight you in the midst of your situation, he even injures you in the process. Somebody's sitting here this morning trying to figure out, what more can I take? How much more can I handle? My anxiety is at an all-time high. My depression is at an all-time level. I don't want to deal with nobody. I'm angry. I got an attitude and I'm mad all the time. I see God blessing my neighbor, but when I'm calling on the same God, I'm not getting the same answer. What happened to the saints that would say that Jesus was on the main line? All I have to do is call him up and he'll be right there to answer me when I need him. But right now, when I'm calling him, he's not answering me like I want him to. What do you do? You're in a position of transition. Transition is known of changing from one point to another. And quite frankly, you'll go through changes and you'll go through transitions in your life that you didn't even ask for. But you have to realize that God is trying to set you up to a better position, because there is greater for him. We all in some way have to go through a process. Look at what's happening here in the text as we're dealing with this man here that is blind. You'll notice that when you go back up, it says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they, somebody said they, somebody say, who is they? They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. Number one, I got to let you know that your life is under siege at the moment. That's why you're going through what you're going through, is because you are under siege. Somebody say, how can God be all powerful and my life be under siege? What if I told you that your life is under siege by God? What if I told you that what you're challenged with is because God has brought it to you? Look at what the text says here in this particular verse. It says, look at here, it says, and he took the blind man. You got to be careful that you don't read this just casually, because you have to understand it in this original Greek form. The word took in the Greek means to seize. God took the blind man from the people that brought him. Listen, let me tell you something. Just because you live in the same house, just because you sit on the same road, just because you share the same bloodline, does not mean that God wants to take those people with you where it is that he's trying to take you. You have to be careful that you don't get frustrated through the process without understanding what it is that God is trying to do to your life. They brought the man to Jesus. Great job. We thank you for bringing them. But Jesus said, this is as far as you can come. You're realizing, you're trying to figure out why you got so much strife with people in your life. You're trying to figure out why there's so much discourse, why you continually butting heads with people that you would normally get along with. And God is trying to simply tell you this morning that I have taken your life under siege because those people have gone with you as far as they can go, and they cannot go any further. I wish y'all would hear me in this morning. That's the reason why a lot of us are suffering in life today, is because we're trying to elevate people with us who God did not plan for our destiny. Everybody is not meant for your destiny. Matter of fact, the reason why is because everybody can't handle the blessings that God has for your life. I wish I had somebody here that understood what I was talking about. It seemed like the more that you get blessed, it seemed like people getting mad with you. Seem like people getting upset with you. Seem like people hating on you for no reason. People trying to sabotage your plans. And it's simply because God is saying that their time in your life has expired, and I'm trying to take you to the next level. Somebody say, you need to shake them people off. You need to shake them people off. They are worse than dead hair on dead ends on a woman's hair. All they are is holding you back. They are dead weight. You got to cut them off. Somebody say, you got to clip off the split ends. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. You got to clip them off. And it says, and it led him out of the town. Not only did he take this man's life under siege because he had to get him away from these people, but God also took the man out of town because he had to get him away from what he was familiar with. Here's something when I was studying this that the Holy Spirit told me, and the Spirit told me that familiarity can cause distractions. Oftentimes, we like to do things because we are comfortable. Anything that makes us uncomfortable, we are challenged and we don't want to do it. Listen, the biggest disobedience that we have when it comes to operating under the will of God is, number one, that we have a problem coming out of our comfort zone. Listen, we tell God, God, I'm willing to do this, this, and this, but I'm not willing to do that. God, I'll do everything that you tell me to do, but I will not do that. And it is that God is trying to get you to do, because that will get you there. Y'all sleep this morning, that's okay. I said, it's the that God is trying to get you to do, because that leads to there. God said that I had to take him under siege. I had to get him away from this people, because these people have seemingly done all that they could do for him, and all they have done is enabled him in his situation. And that's another problem that we have, is that we like to hang around people that make our bad seem good. People who take our wrongdoing and they give us a pass for it. People who make excuses and stick up for us. God is saying, I have to get you away from those people, because if I don't, you'll never get to where it is that I want you to be. You trying to figure out why people are falling out of your life, and you're praying to God, God, please show me who is real for my life. God, please help me. You know how we cry. God, show me if that's who you really want me to have in my life. God, because I can't take this no more. And as soon as God get him out of your life, you're trying to hold on to him. Figuring out why your life can't get any further, because you're trying to hold on to what God is trying to get rid of. God said, I'm trying to answer your prayer, but you're in the way. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And the Bible says that, and when he spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Listen what happens here. The man, Jesus, takes him away from where he was, from people that he was familiar with in familiar surroundings, so God can take him elsewhere. And you saying, God, okay, you got me here, so my blessing must be here where you want me to be. And God is saying, no, I still got more process for you to go through. That's where we lose ourselves, and where Satan tries to creep in and take us, because we thought, okay, God, if I did what you told me to do, you led me over here. Now that I'm over here, God, okay, now my healing should come. That's where we make a mistake in life, that we put stipulations on God. Okay, God, I'll go, but you got to do this. God, I'll move with you as long as you make this happen. God, I'll continue to go as long as you don't take her out of my life. Lord, I'll continue to move with you as long as you don't let me lose my boyfriend. Lord, I'll continue to do this as long as nobody finds out what I do when nobody else is looking. But Jesus is saying that you got to go through a process. The problem is that a lot of people want things quick and fast and in a hurry. And that's the same way that you lose things, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Jesus says that if I take you through a process, it'll last a little bit longer. You'll appreciate it a little bit better. Listen, there are some of us who like things real fast. I don't know about you, but I feel like there are people who get out on the road every morning when I'm on my way to work. I guess they got up early. They done ate their Wheaties for breakfast. They get in their cars and they drive them down the street. They are in no hurry at all. They are all in your way, and you trying to get to where it is that you got to go. And when you're passing by them, amen, they just in their car just driving, minding their own business because they did what they were supposed to do and they got up early so they can get to where it is they supposed to be. Y'all laughing, so that must mean that there's more of me than there is of them out there. There are the people who are like me who know that they gotta be up at work at 8 a.m. and we don't get up until 6:45 and we're getting out the door at 7:40 and we're rushing everybody out of our way. I don't know about you, but I am no stranger to my horn at all. I know how to use my honk, get out of my way. Honk, I'm changing lane. Honk. And I got this new car that every time I try to move over, it tell me, brake, brake, brake. I'm trying to figure out how to break it and turn it off because I'm in control and I'm trying to drive. I left late so I can get there in a hurry. I'm trying to get it fast. But God says that you got to go through a process because every now and then it don't work. Every time that horn don't work. And have you ever been in a horn fight? Anybody here ever been in a horn battle? Where all you hear is honk, 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 honk. The craziest thing I ever see is people in bumper-to-bump traffic wailing on their horn. Like anybody can move out the way. And I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting in traffic, that's the time that I sit there and ask God, is there something I didn't ask for forgiveness for? Because I surely have to be punished right now. This is why you got me sitting here, because you want me in a position where I can think of everything that I didn't say, God, I'm sorry for. And I sit there and I say, God, I'm sorry. I need you to help me right now. And you know what happens to me? I'm still sitting in that traffic. You gotta go through the process in order for God to get you to where it is that he wants you to be. Coming back to the text, Jesus takes the blind man. Don't y'all be honking that horn tomorrow. Takes the blind man away from the people that could go as far with them as they could go. And then he takes them out of town because he doesn't want them around familiarity because they are doing nothing but causing a distraction and hindering him from getting to where it is. And not only does God take him through a process and take him away, but God does something that we would consider to be something awful. God, how is it that you have led me away and I seem to be doing everything that I'm supposed to do? And not only do you want me to go through some more process, but God, the process that you are taking me through makes absolutely no sense. Have y'all ever been there with God where you said, God, I don't understand what you are trying to do. God, why do you have me in this particular situation? Why do you have me right here where I am? God, this don't make any sense. I don't belong here. What do you do when you've gotten in your mind that you are better than what you are? And so when God takes you to things, you think you are too good to go through what God is trying to take you through. I knew I wasn't going to get too many amens on there. You have reached a certain level in your life and you say, I don't go through those things. That's what the other people go through. But God takes you through some dirty situations too. And let me pause long enough to let you know that you ought to thank God that he took you through some dirty situations. Because one thing that I've learned is that anything that's dirty can be clean again. Woo, I wish I had somebody in here that was excited like I am. He can take any situation that's dirty and he can turn it around and he can clean it up. Come here, Jesus, on Calvary. You know you was dirty in your sin. And it took Jesus to shed his blood. And somebody said his red blood had covered my black dirt and it made me white as snow. You ought to thank God that you've been through some dirty situations in your life that God brought you out of. I wish I had somebody here said that. I know I got myself into some situations, but it was nobody but God that brought me out. So he let him out of town, and then he spit on his eyes. And then the Bible says that God put his hands upon him. He asked him, he saw all. After Jesus takes him and he spit, make a little spittle, a little medicine, and he puts it over the man's eyes. He asked the man, he said, what do you see? Look at here. After he says, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Did y'all catch that? He said, what do you see? The man said, I see men as trees walking. Let me try it one more time for the Holy Ghost. This is a Baptist church. He said, Jesus says, what do you see? He said, I see men walking as trees. The reason why the man could not see what he was supposed to see is because he still couldn't see. How do you see men like trees and trees walking? That's why God said that you are still in the process, because you're not seeing what you're supposed to see. God is saying the reason why I haven't delivered you from where you are right now is because you still don't get it. God says that I got to keep you here a little bit longer because you do not see what you're supposed to see. Some of us, as we know when we were kids, your parents would tell you that one is a little bit more hard-headed than the other ones. The reason why God is taking you through a longer process is because you're hard-headed. God is saying that I can't give it to you quick and easy because you still don't get it. You're doing things that make no sense. Trees can never walk like people. And if a tree walk around here, I need to move to another country. So Jesus tells him, you're not seeing too clear yet. So look at what happens here. He says he sees men as trees walking. Then Jesus says, after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. Somebody say that Jesus touched him again. And made him look up, and the Bible says, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. It was only after Jesus touched him the second time that he was able to see men like he was supposed to see them. Y'all, I'm done. This lesson is over already. It was after Jesus had to touch him again to refocus him. The reason why you can't see and you are still seeing a blurry is because you have not refocused. And Jesus says that I got to spend some more time with you because I need you to see things clearly. Because if you see things clearly, then you will see that your situation was no good for you.
But he says, as long as you are seeing it with blurred lines, you'll never get to where it is that I want you to be. I hope y'all understanding the message this morning. And so the Bible says that when Jesus touched him the second time, it says that the man's eyes opened and he was able to see clearly. But here's the thing of the story. Here's the punch of the story that most people miss when they're reading the story. The Bible says that he saw men as trees walking. This would indicate to us that this man was not born blind. I only got 5 minutes. I ain't got no more time. The man said that he saw men walking as trees, which means the man had vision before. And what happened to the man was life got in the way and he could no longer see things clearly as he once did. I know I got somebody in the house this morning that you know that life is not what it's always been. There are some people in here who have gone through situations in your life that you can look at somebody and say, Saints, I've been through a lot in my life, but I don't look like what I've been through. And so the Bible says that they brought the man to Jesus. And Jesus took the man away from them. And not only did he take the man away from them, but the Bible says that Jesus took him out of town because Jesus was trying to get him to a position where he wanted better for his life. And Jesus knew that if he stayed where he was, that he would be stuck, stale, and stagnant, and he would never reach his destiny. I stopped by to encourage somebody this morning that the reason why you are going through the process is because God is trying to get you to your divine destiny. And in order for God to do so, God has to take you away from your familiar surroundings because clearly he says you can't see that you are being distracted by those around you. So God says, I have to give you another view. Another way of looking at things, because you got to get to where it is that I want you to be. And I want you to know that it's imperative that you understand that God is trying to get you to where it is that he wants you to be. I cannot stress it enough that he's trying to get you there. And so the Bible says that he took the man out of the town and he took the man away from his people. And the Bible says, I had to get him away because I need him to get to where it is that I want him to be. And so the Bible says that the man had to go through a process. Because how many know that when you go through a process, you come out better than you was before? And that's all Jesus is trying to do it to some of you is he's trying to get you to the next level. Because he's trying to make you better than what you are right now. And so in order to do so, he got to cause some disturbance in your life. He got to cause some turmoil in your life. He got to cause some disruption in your life. He got to cause things to go a little sour sometimes in your life. Because he knows that if you never have these situations, then you'll never get to where you need to be. And I come to let somebody know this morning that all you got to do is trust in Jesus. I know that everything will be all right because he's trying to get you to the next level. And the Bible says that after Jesus touched him, the Bible says that he saw clearly again. And that's all that Jesus is trying to do to some of you right now. He said that your vision is a little blurry. He said that you can't see things how I want you to see them. He said that you got people in your circle that are toxic and you can't see them like I see it. He said that you're staying in a place that is no good for you. You're living in relationships that are no good for you. And he says, I got to break some things up because there's some more things I want to put in your life. But in the process, I want you to hold on to God and know that everything will be all right. Because after a while and by, Jesus will make everything all right. I wish I had some people in here that would be honest with me this morning and say that I'm going through some things right now. I don't understand where God has me. I'm not understanding what God is trying to do in my life. But one thing that I know is that I'm going to trust God through the process. Because the thing about God is that if he take you through one storm, God is able to take you through another. I wish I had somebody in here that ever tried Jesus for yourself. And you know that he was able to take you through one thing. And God brought you out of that thing. And surely if he can bring you through that, God is able to bring you through this. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what kind of negativity he tries to throw in your way. I don't care how he tries to disrupt the process. All you got to do is hang on to Jesus and everything will be all right. I wish I had somebody that ever called on the Lord and you know that he came to your rescue. Have you ever called on Jesus when you were laying on your sick bed and he healed your body? Have you ever called on Jesus when you didn't have no money to pay your bills and he stepped right in and paid your bills with no money? I wish I had somebody else in here that ever had God give you a job that you didn't know you were qualified for. It's because God is able to do exactly what is said. I came to stop by and encourage you this morning. Now all you gotta do is go through the process and hang on in there with Jesus. Cause after a while, everything will get better. High five your neighbor and say, my better is on the way. I just gotta go through the process right now. But I believe my better is on the way. Let me encourage somebody this morning. In spite of what you're going through. And I got an old hymn that I'm going to leave you with. There's an old hymn that says, be not dismayed. Whatever be tied up. Because God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Let me see you wave your hand. If you know that God's brought you out, let me see you wave your hand. If you know that God brought you through, let me see you wave your hand. If God elevated you to the next level, let me see you wave your hand. If the enemy has surrounded you, but God delivered you out of your situation, let me see you wave your hand. If you know that nobody, can't nobody do me like Jesus. I wish I had somebody else in here that have a testimony today that you can say it's nobody but God that I am where I am right now. I'm reminded of another song that they used to sing in the church, and the song went like this. It said, If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. It's only because he kept me. It's only because he covered me. It's only because he protected me. It's only because he shielded me that I'm here right now. And I got to stop by to say thank you, Jesus, for being good to me. Thank you, Jesus, for taking me through the process. Because if I never went through the process, I would never have the life that I have. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you ought to open up your mouth and thank God that what killed somebody else, God let you live. What killed somebody else, God still sustained you. What killed somebody else, God brought you out. You ought to tell God thank you. Tell him thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Let me see your hand today. If you know that Jesus is all right, Come on, he's a doctor in the sick room. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a judge in the courtroom. He'll be whatever you need him to be. Somebody said he's a King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the great I Am. Isaiah said he's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the everlasting Father. And he told the children of Israel that I am, that I am, I am, that I am. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Aren't you glad you got Jesus? Somebody said, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I am an heir of salvation. I've been purchased by his spirit. I've been bought with his love. This is my story. And this is my song.
Amen. We ask for the ushers to please hold the door. God takes us through a process. The message has gone forth, and I wish for some of us I could import how good Jesus is. There's nobody else in this world that you need to know outside of Jesus Christ. Is there somebody here, based on the message, you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior through faith? You know the message touched your heart, and you want to get to know this Jesus that we're talking about. We invite you to come down, and we have counselors to share with you. With everyone, as the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart, you want to get to know Jesus Christ. We see you. Would there be another one? Don't let this opportunity pass, for tomorrow is now promised. Would there be another one to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Would there be one? All right, we see you. We thank God for you. Will there be one this morning? Amen. 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 Will there be another one to say yes to the Master? Would there be another one? As the Spirit is moving, those of you who already have a relationship with Christ, we ask that you continue praying. But if you don't know Jesus from the pardon of your sins, we invite you to come down. I promise you, this is the best decision you could ever make in your life. Will there be one? Will there be one?